Okay. So, over the years, I've done many shows on many topics. Tonight is the first time I'm doing a public demonstration on how to make cheese. That's why you have cheese tonight, to give you a little bit of a feeling of how to make cheese. So, there's two angles that we're going to cover tonight. One is the science of making cheese. I'm not going to go very much into the science, but the basics of how it happens. And the second discussion is going to be the halachic discussion of how to make cheese. So, how do you make cheese? You take milk, warm milk, and I have a pot of warm milk right here.
Let's one test the temperature.
Depending on the kind of cheese you want to make, you get the right temperature. If you want to enter your cheese in a contest or sell your cheese, the exact temperature to the degree is very important. You want 100 degrees or 101 degrees or 102 degrees when you're starting. This is just an experiment. As long as within the area of 100, between 97, 98, and 102, 103, we're good. So, 105?
I'm ready, 100.
100 what?
106.
106. So we're going to wait a minute before we put anything in there.
I shall leave it
uncovered. I'll leave it uncovered.
Rinse it?
If you don't rinse it, it gets dirty. It's a mess. If this is milk, you can put it
in
here.
This is a brand new.
Is that regular milk that you buy, or is that...
Regular home milk.
Homogenized?
You don't need that for making cheese. You can use anything. You can use skim milk. The cheese is made from the milk solids, not from the fat, not from the cream. It's made from the milk solid. It's when you have to extract the cheese is the white part of the milk, the milk solid. You have to extract the cheese, you'll see that the whatever's left is no longer white. All the white stuff. So I made cheese a bunch of times, and sometimes successfully. How it will come out tonight, we're going to find out.
Totally on the guest.
I don't know what's totally on. Okay. Yeah. So what you do with cheese is you take some part of the cast, take something called rennet. R-E-N-N-E-T, rennet, it's an acid. You put it into the cheese, into the milk, to the warm milk. It makes the milk coagulate. It looks like yogurt. If you put it in, after a few minutes, it looks like yogurt. Then it looks like a yogurt. Sometimes you open the yogurt up and there's a little bit like a clear liquid on top. But if it's a little bit longer, it starts looking like that. And if you leave it like that, it will look like a yogurt. But you're not done yet for cheese. You have to cut the curd. You know what a curd is, right? That, you know what a little Miss Muffet?
The cottage cheese you see.
Right, the cottage cheese is sold in small curd and in medium curd. Curd is, after the milk solids congeal and thicken, that's called a curd. In the case of this kind of cheese, you have a pack of look like yogurt, that's called a curd. But it's really the solids and the liquids are mixed together, and it's not yet ready to make the cheese. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. So, where do you get rennet from? Rennet is the miracle chemical that turns the liquid cheese into a solid. Where do you get rennet from? So. There's two ways of getting rennet. One is from grass. Certain plants have in it. I don't know the exact names. You can get the cheese books. They'll tell you the exact names of the plants. And today, it's much, much cheaper to use plant rennet. And almost all cheese that you can afford is made from plant rennet. And kosher cheese for sure. Is all made from, unless it's $20-$30 a pound. But a regular cheese that $5 or $6 a pound or $10 a pound is made from plant rennet. Okay, so one place is that. There's very little to talk about the halachas of cheese made from plant rennet. So we're going to skip that topic. We have to talk about cheese made from calves' stomachs.
Is there a difference in taste?
probably if the expensive stuff has it, is made that way. I've almost never been brave. I was never brave enough to eat my cheese that I made from cat's stomach. So, and anyway, the cheese that I make doesn't have any of the chemicals and the flavor enhancers, and it's not aged. So I wouldn't even be able to compare it to the stuff that you buy in the grocery store. So there's two parts of the stomach that you can use to make the rennet. One is the skin of the stomach. These are dried calf stomachs. I have a few of them here with me. These are dried calf stomachs. It's the skin of the stomach. A shoychit, a friend of mine, I spoke to Rami before, it's really illegal to get this in the United States. A friend of mine is a shoychit, somehow or other procure them. We'll figure out one day how, but that's not important. So these stomachs actually are from older calves. They were about 3 months old. They were old enough to slaughter, and that's how come the shoychit got them for me. And once they're already that old, the usefulness for cheese really diminished a lot. So I did make a little bit. I was able to coagulate some milk with this in the past. Let's see what works tonight. Okay, this is a hard piece of stomach. What I did was we took off the chalev. The chalev, the rice is on the stomach. We took off the chalev, the rice, took it off, salted it, let it sit out for a few days, did the back of it before Perm did this, and yeah, I have hard stomachs. So that's one thing. The other thing to use is the guk, which is the slaughtering milking calf, a calf that's only living on milk, just some milk from its mother. Inside the stomach is like the inside of a baby's bottle, like the one kind you find underneath the car seat, like a few days later, and it looks like it's all the milk has, right? The milk has curdled. So inside the calf's stomach, you have the same kind of stuff. There's a little guk that looks like cottage cheese, and liquid, clear liquid. So either of those two things, the guk or the clear liquid, either of those can be used to make cheese. It's all not legal in the United States. When we were in camp, and that's the most important thing to go with tonight, is Camp Yardea. Camp Yardea is the camp where Bachman get to do all the things that once upon a time every Jewish housewife, or every Jewish man was familiar with. And now that we live in a commercialized world where everything is done in factories in China, and we never see anything. So in Camp Yardea, you do everything from how to sharpen a knife for shlita, to shecht your own chicken. And we had guys this year, we had a lot of kehan with us this year. We were all practicing malika, and we had guys, we opened up the lungs of the animals, all the interesting things that Bachman liked to do. That's not really dinner discussion, but Bachman loved to do these things. And we spun wool to make our tzitzis, we bought techeles. All these, this is what we do in Camp Yardea. Among the things we do in Camp Yardea this year is we also opened up a calf stomach and we made cheese. And it worked very quickly. In fact, because the using the actual stomach, I didn't even have to warm the milk. I just took cold milk. Okay. Now the shayla is like this. In last week's parasha, the apostle says, you now let him mix meat with milk. And this is a calf stomach. It's technically meat. And that is milk. So how do you do this? So this is gets a half a siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's a half a siman in Shulchan Aruch. How do you make kosher cheese? So one thing of the halacha, a smooth way to do it is to use the perish, which is the halachic word for the guk, the curdled cheese that's inside the calf stomach. You use that as a culture starter. You put that in here, and that's one way to do it. That's the simplest, easiest way up yalacha. Okay, but we didn't do that because then I wouldn't have anything to speak about. We used a piece of this. So what is this? So this is called a minute. This because it coagulates the cheese. It be a minute. So if this would be fresh, okay, we're allowed to put it in. So the problem of mixing meat and milk is the raisa only if you cook them together. I didn't cook them together. Why not? Because this milk, how hot was it when we started, Avram? How hot does something have to be to cook? That's a lettuce bite. So we weren't got to lettuce bite. So I'm good with it not cooking. The other problem might be
mixing.
What?
Mixing or
yeah, a kavush. Kavush. The mixing is only when one of them is hot. Then there's a problem mixing. But here neither is hot. The problem would be kavush. Kavush would be a problem if I left in there for a very long time. How long is kavush? 24 hours. What?
Base lace.
Kavush is definitely an ace lace. There's a problem over here that we're talking about an acid thrown to a shark. How long do they have for that? What?
As long as it takes what?
As long as it takes to, if you wanted to heat it on the fire, till it start to boil. How long did it take us to heat this to 105 degrees?
7-8 minutes.
Took us 7-8 minutes. So we have to get it 100 a little higher than that. So we're not yet 7-8 minutes, but we should take it out soon. Okay. Now, what happens if I don't take it out? What happens if I didn't take it out?
Start over.
What?
Start over.
So would you say bittul? I have a big pot of milk and I put a very small piece compared to what I have here.
But it's a solid.
So what?
It's a solid.
Yeah. So the piece itself I would have to remove. But when I say bittul on the tam, which is sitting in there.
Talking about the enzymes?
Right, on the enzymes, whatever came out of it. In science, it's called enzyme. In halacha, it's called hayotze, whatever that's supposed to mean.
But to tell you, you take a piece of meat and put it in the
book. That's what I did. If it's never going to get cooked, then it's not going to come to the kavush, yeah. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it. But you can do it.
Did you beat the milk then?
Yeah.
I think I'm allowed to make things bittul.
It's not bittul. I'm not waiting until it comes to bittul. But anyway, I'm going to go through all the steps, all the angles of it. So, I thought it was enough to. Right, so we're talking about that if I left it, if this would be a soft skin, and I threw it in as is, I would have only about 8-10 minutes, and I have to remove it. But I'm being brave, I'm not removing it, even though it's getting close to that. Why? Because it's hard. The Ramaz says if it's dry, if you salted it and it's dry, and in my opinion, even though it's bendable, it's hard and dry, it's been sitting like this already, but it didn't rot and doesn't smell bad, it's been sitting like this since Purim, in my opinion, this is considered hard. So once it's been salted and hard, I can leave it in there probably forever. Okay, probably forever. Now, let's imagine I use a soft piece, or I left it in, and I left it in for too long. So then the shayla would be what's called a maimed. What's a maimed? A maimed is something, the Mishnah used the word in passing. There's a Mishnah of a Dezara. I'm changing directions for 1 second. There's a mission of a Dezara that talks about two distinct halachas, Chol of Yisrael and Vinas Yisrael. These are two different concepts. Chol of Yisrael, you're familiar with. Skip it. Vinas Yisrael. Vinas Akum. What is Vinas Akum? Chazal specifically answered cheese that a goy made. The same way Chazal said, Bishal Akum, a guy cooked food, it's aser. The guy makes cheese, the cheese is aser. Okay? Takes your kosher milk, call this own milk, in your house, under your supervision, no cooking involved. I should say under your supervision, that was a mistake. If you're watching, it's not a problem. He takes your kosher milk in your house, and you're not watching, and he turns it into cheese, it's aser for you to eat it. Gvinas Akum. Why? Because Chazal were afraid that he would use the stomach of an Avela. The stomach of an Avela. And Avela is Isser. Avela is Isser. It's not like Basa v'Cholav. Midiraisa, I'm allowed to eat this. Because it's kosher meat, it's kosher slaughter. I'm allowed to eat it. Midiraisa. In fact, any Kehanim here in the room? Yeah? So there's a mitzvah to give the Kohen, the Zeroya, the Chayayim, and Keva. What's the Keva? So here it is. So this would be the keva. What did the kohen do with it? So the Mishnah says that the kohen does with it. You're listening?
Yes.
The Mishnah says that the kohen does it. Kohen shedait the yofa, he's brave, surf achaya, he sucks it raw. He drinks it up, the book that's inside the stomach, he eats it raw. Okay? That's a brave kohen. The rest of us, we dry it and we put it into our pot of milk. Okay, anyway, so in that concept, when the Mishnah talks about Venus Akum, it says, use the word maimit. Shabbat Midah, he makes it, he's maimit it with nevela, with the skin of a nevela. He makes the cheese with nevela. The goyim makes his cheese with nevela. And nevela is not bottle. This is kosher, and if you take two kosher ingredients, and you mix two kosher ingredients with each other, right? It stays kosher. If you take treif, nevela, and you mix it with a kosher ingredient, it doesn't come bottled. So I have shishim. I have more than 60 times the meat. The answer is it's called a maimit. That's the word the Mishnah uses, maimit. Maimit is the enzymes that come out, the ingredients, they make it coagulate. And when they make it come together, that concept that it's, you see forever and ever, as long as the cheese exists, that it was coagulated by something, something put it together, that concept can't come bottle. Because you see it. The maimit is not bottle the same way anything which doesn't look like you're very successful. Tiny little bits of stuff sticking to my thing. Let's measure this. Let's take the temperature. Turn it off. Press the power button. Wait a second. It's down to 80 degrees. 90 degrees.
So, there's a difference between Venus Yisrael. How do you have the cheese that's so unique? Or the cheese that's
so, I'm not in the kashrus line. You have to ask somebody who works in kashrus. How you make commercial cheese? Our discussion here is limited to the theory.
Is this illegal in America? Because if you have to cook twice, for another reason.
Yeah, all the internal organs of the animals have to be discarded. Now that I leave the plant, they have to be discarded. Usually, you have to become good friends with the USDA guy. In the commercial plant, the USDA guy is the enemy. He walks around he's a pariah, everybody avoids him, and this. And the way to deal with these guys usually, the listing over there, the guy in Kashrus, the way you deal with these guys, the first thing you do when you work into a commercial plant is you walk up to the USDA guy, and you tell him, Yesher Koyach, you're the most valuable person in this plant because you're protecting me. I'm the consumer, and you're protecting me. And after he hears that, he's totally, totally bribed. He'll do whatever you want. Okay. Because he's the rest of you are on his team, he's great. Okay, what we're doing with the time. How much more time do we have? 20 minutes?
20
minutes. Okay. So, I don't have so much more to say because the basic idea of the maimed we discussed, what a maimed is, and this did not really work as well as hoped. Let's see if we put it in this water. Nah, it's not even hot. This water is not hot anymore. I want to see.
When the pot warmed up.
It thickened a little bit, like just little bits of. I'm not even sure. I don't think it's working altogether. Hot?
It
maybe work better if it's hotter. Okay, so as I said before, this is an experiment. Experiment sometimes.
What kind of cheese would this be?
Okay, so what kind of cheese would this be?
Make it more hot.
Maybe we'll change this wood, I'll put it in here. I don't want to announce this. I wouldn't want to cook it here. Just put this into, maybe put new hot water in here. Okay, what kind of cheese would it be? The type of cheese that you make depends a lot on the kind of milk you use. Most cheese is made from cow's milk. Well, you use sheep milk, and then you can make feta cheese. You can use goat milk and make goat's cheese. You can use, if you're Italian and you use water buffalo, you make mozzarella cheese. If you're American and you need mozzarella cheese, you take cow's milk and just get a few chemicals, and it sort of tastes the same. I wouldn't know why.
You were explaining earlier why it's not basa chala b'neraisa. Is it considered a derbanan?
Well, if you keep the rules. There's three sifim in Shulchan Aruch how to make sure that you don't make a problem with the derbanan. The derbanan is only basa chala if it's cooked. Right. The derbanan, if I left it in the 24 hours,
right.
I'm not going to do that anyway because this is hard. So that's another solution. According to Ramah, the solution is if it's hard. According to most Rishonim, if you use the guk inside, that's considered perish. Perish is waste. It's not considered edible food, so it doesn't have a problem. But the different Rishonim have different ways of dealing with it. But what they do today, what they do today, the most common thing today is they use artificial. But in theory, what we would do is we would use either the goat inside, the perish, or this. Now they would do what they do is for hobbyists, is you can buy vegetable rennet. It's not expensive at all. Like enough rennet to make 20 boxes of cheese is like $4 or $5. Or you can make animal rennet. Animal rennet is, they take this, the animal rennet they sell, they take these fresh, they put them through a blender, they put it through a strainer, and that's what they sell to you. So animal rennet is almost never kosher. And somebody in kashrut says it has to be there and do hash on it. But, what?
You're about to give this here.
Yeah. Right. But you could, in theory, I could grind it up. Right, I wouldn't be able to get it out. Right. I wouldn't be able to get it out. So that would be a problem. Like if I would to grind it, if I would pulverize it like the Bayesian system, I wouldn't be able to use it. Okay, so those are the but to avoid the banan, as long as it's either hard or not there for 24 hours, I'm good. Now, there's a shaila that Pais can talk about, where the Shaim talk about it, where after a few days they discovered a piece of the skin in the cheese. Now, what do you mean, how did they discover it? What they do is like this. This is supposed to work. When it works, it's supposed to work, start thickening up in 15, 20 minutes. Okay. That didn't give it enough time. It's supposed to start thickening up in 15, 20 minutes.
No, it's already over 100. Oh, because it's touching the bottom of the top.
After it thickened,
we should give it time.
You take something called cheesecloth, right? Now you know it's called cheesecloth. Okay? Maybe later we'll do this. You line it, if it ever thickens, we'll do this. You
now
line
it's over 100,
that?
Man. It's over okay. 100.
Let's leave it. Don't mix it. If you mix the curd, it slows it down. Yeah.
Stay away. Come here. Stick to the chores. Always have to stick
to the chores. You take cheesecloth and you line your strainer. You pour this. I mean, obviously, you work in a commercial environment. They first cut it into pieces, and they have big machines to do it, but over here we just use a small little strainer, some cheesecloth in it, we pour it through, and the solids would stay in the cloth, the liquid would pour out. How much solid do you get? You use 2 gallons of milk, half gallon of milk you used. From half gallon of milk, you should get about a cup's worth of cheese. But 1 cup's worth of cheese, from half gallon of milk. What do you do with the rest? So if you buy Entenmann's, it says they make their cookies with whey. That's what they do. That's what those guys in Wisconsin do with it. Or a whole variety of those kind of things. There's not much to do with your whey besides making the cookies or pancakes. It's whey sort of tastes like, you know what buttermilk was? Any here old enough to remember buttermilk? It's the same idea. It's a little bit on the sour side. It doesn't taste like milk at all. It doesn't have the sweetness to it. And Okay, so we pour this through. Then what you do, next step is, you have to age it. Because the cheese, when it first comes out, tastes like rubber. Not really, but it has, it's very, very bland. It has no taste to it. Even though you put salt, and I have my cheese kit, which I didn't use today altogether, because I'm not really going to make a cheese out of this. I have citric acid. You put citric acid. You put in salt, perhaps some kind of other spices, if you wanted to make that kind of cheese. And then you make it into a tight ball, tie your cheesecloth real tight, the tighter the better, and come to my neighborhood, you see all the Italian delicatessens, they have hanging in the windows, like the bar box stores have hanging the salamis, they have hanging their cheeses. And you let it sit there for days, weeks, months, each one according to what it's supposed to be.
Why isn't this for?
Because you already removed the different stuff that could spoil from it. And you also, cheese does not spoil.
Fat.
No,
it's fat.
Modern-day cheese is they take the cheese part of it and they made a lot of chemicals. It's never really made into cheese. These cheap cheeses,
cheese dishes don't have to be refrigerated.
But real cheese, the point of real cheese was it didn't require refrigeration. What they used to do was, let's go one together, let's go one at a time. So they hung it to dry. The salami also, you hang it to dry, it doesn't get refrigerated. You hang it to dry, it dries, and it gets hard, and that's called hard cheese, which is the discussion of hard cheese aged 6 months and all that. They weren't talking about cheese that was sitting in a refrigerator for 6 months. They're talking about cheese that was in a cheesecloth hanging in the stock room for 6 months. And by that time, it mellows, it gets flavored and all that naturally. That all happens naturally.
Why does that take longer to break down in the stomach that you have to wait, that you would have to wait?
The reason for hard cheese is not, the reason for hard cheese is actually a very, very late minute. We're off the topic, but we're not off the topic, we're waiting for this to work anyway. We're off the topic. The reason for hard cheese, waiting 6 hours for hard cheese, is because Rami Rutenberg was eating one day hard cheese, and then he ate Fleischigs. And if he ate Fleischigs, he discovered that he had hard cheese stuck in his mouth, in between his teeth, after he ate the Fleischigs. And he decided that from then on he was never going to eat hard cheese and eat Fleischigs afterwards. He ate hard cheese, he's waiting 6 hours. What?
It's his fault.
And the Achrayim saw it was such a good idea. Mashal and a bunch of other Achrayim, and the Mashal and many other Achrayim saw it such a great idea, and they sort of became a minig that we wait 6 hours. It's not like eating meat and milk together, or even fish and chicken and milk, which is the Rabbanon. This is a minig, and it's a very, very, as Minhagim go, it's a very late developing minig. It's like it started in the time, sort of the time of Mashal. Because of the Maizik and Ram Rumbring, it sort of became the time of Mashal that it became a minig.
1200.
We're getting somewhere. It's getting PC, but not enough. You're an apple. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go to the other angle. What else could they do with cheese? So if you do deer shoe. So recently, I got one, I'll take it anyway, the next one. If you learn Dirshu, so on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make cheese on Shabbos. What's the problem making cheese on Shabbos? The problem is, what?
Boina.
The Shem said the problem is boina. That you're taking the loose pieces of the curd, and you use it you put it into your cloth, and you push it all together, and you give it a form and shape, is boina. That's on Shabbos. Now the other thing to do with cheese, is that you take your bag of curds, and you soak it in a salt water bath. he's soaking in a salt water bath. That's not gonna work. I have to wait until the pool finishes. You can soak it in a bucket of salt water for days, weeks, months, and in the person they talk about cheese being very salty, and they talk about that it's a davar charif because of all the salt. Because that's one way they preserve cheese, but they kept it in salt. Okay. What else is on the thing? I'm getting very impatient. But a watch kettle never boils. All right. Okay, yeah.
Question on Vinus Akko. If the reason for the halacha is because of concern of using non-kosher animals,
right.
But isn't it dried out ones they eat?
No, not in time of Chazal. In time of Chazal, you see, in the time of the Shainim, the main thing they used was the curd inside the calf's stomach. That all the Shainim, they all talk about, that's the way cheese is made. Using dried skins was like an etzah of the one the Shainim offered. It doesn't seem that was the standard. Okay. All right, next, any else?
If we're doing it artificial today, so what would be the issa?
So, in time of Chazal also, there was the option of doing grass. Chazal worried that the person, the guy would use the novella. The novella still exists today. It's not so common. You can buy it, any place they sell cheese making supplies, they sell animal rennet.
But today's day and age, Lamashal, it's also in the United States, right?
No, the commercial stuff you can buy legal animal rennet. I don't know how they make it officially. Like what the kind of thing they need to do it.
But commercial cheese, today's day and age, is also
no. You're allowed to make commercial cheese from rennet, animal rennet. Just much more expensive.
You can buy rennet, you can't buy animal, you can't buy summits.
You can, a commercial
they
company
can,
make,
yeah.
A commercial company could make animal rennet and could produce it, it's just so much more expensive that it's not worth it for them. But expensive cheeses are made that way.
So, you say non-kosher cheese, what would make it cheap cheese? What would make it non-kosher this day and age?
Hey, what
would this day and age make non-kosher cheese non-kosher? If they're using
let's imagine they use kosher milk, or you don't use. You live in America today, and you don't use Chol Yisrael. So what's the problem? The problem is the rennet. That'd be the key problem. There are other ingredients also here and there that could be added, but the key problem would be the rennet, and it's not just a Chazal. Not just the rennet. The key, it's a Chazal said that because of the possibility of rennet, if everybody makes cheese unsupervised, it's a problem.
So you know for sure they didn't use rennet.
That's any time you know for sure that guy didn't do a Chazal. We're worried about. But you still have to worry about the Xera. So that's most of the time the answer is yeah. Chazal said that's Xera. No exclusions.
You can't make gum cheese out of non-kosher animals.
You can't make cheese from non-kosher milk.
Not
that's a Gemara. Gemara says you can't make cheese from non-kosher milk.
What about the stomach? The stomach of non-kosher milk?
I don't know.
Use this
let's say use it from a donkey or something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it would work. I don't know. Okay, what time is Meir?
9 o'clock.
What?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay, so we're gonna. Let's just see what this is up to. Let's see if it's thickened at all. Yeah. Okay, we're getting something on it. Okay, let's be brave and let's pour some of this out.
So what do you need me to take this bowl?
Yeah. Do they have any scissors or knife that can cut pieces?
Yeah, I have a knife.
I'm a look at one. I'm a look at one.
Is rennet an enzyme or an acid?
Not a scientist.
What?
Not a scientist.
Okay.
It looks, it so far it didn't get there yet.
I do see somebody on the surface, but
definitely not much.
It's not, no. There is pieces in there. I'm hoping that it will get something to do the, go ahead.
Yes, here, you cut it, because I don't want to cut over your head, and just make sure Mr. Wolf gets his knife back.
No, nope. That's not the type of knife we use.
You do with scissors work better?
Maybe, definitely.
I have a shot. That's
what you want to hit. Ah, it's a knife.
You want to raise it?
Set your
hand. Get out of the clothes. Look at that.
It's not what you asked for.
Be careful what you ask for.
To be a
while from
here,
okay.
Push this stuff in.
Ah, so it's a little security,
a little
safe.
Yeah. Can we also pour that out? Or one of your two step bowl?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't really thicken, but you can taste it around if your wife wants to get a peek.
There's a piece in there. I don't know what that is. A piece over there.
Well, that's actually like
that's part of it, yeah, okay.
It's more like milk to me.
That's the piece that he's got it.
There's only one piece. See, along the surface, I see some of the stuff, but that's not.
It's such a difference in price that I think it was you hold this. Okay, let's see what happens. Pull this through. Let's see what happens. I do see something separated. I do see that there's a little clear liquid on the top.
Spreading a little bit?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm going to find out. Experiments
bottom of the pot.
Bottom, it looks like.
Experiments don't always come out the way you want.
That's why it's called an experiment. Right?
Right.
You can read
some stuff in the bottom of the pot.
Yeah.
You are straining something out.
There's some stuff in the bottom of the pot.
And that is the cheese. So can you reuse that animal thing?
I can.
We got something.
String. It's a string cheese.
It came in the microwave, no?
It was also overage. You're supposed to use it within the first week.
String
this
cheese.
Is 3 months old.
But the cave.
Yeah. Within the first week of birth. When we did this in camp,
we got something.
When we did it in camp, we used the gulp from the cheese.
Well, it
tastes like rubber, right?
The cat
taste it. No, come on, Isaiah.
I don't mind. It tastes like rubber. No point.
Like this.
Yeah. I'll eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. We use regular.
Lime it right away. No?
Yeah. We use regular refrigerated. Look out of the refrigerator and put it in.
That's curding right away.
Yeah.
Of course. The one that we have fresh percent.
I don't take the blame for not coming out.
You go watch
that. No, I think
it's
use non-cooking.